I am really, really excited. I think it's going to be a fierce and very competitive series. I think both the squad, England squad going out to Australia is very, very strong. A lot of depth, a lot of different types of players within it. And obviously Australia in their home conditions, the best team in the world. It's going to be a real tough battle for the England girls, but I can really see it being a good contest, and hopefully England can go one better than the men and bring it home.
It would appear that the English women have got a real job on their hands, haven't they? Because Australia have won the last three Ashes series. They're kind of the team to beat, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's credit to how the women's game there has developed. They're a few years ahead of us. They've obviously had their WBBL, so their Women's Big Bash competition now for numerous years. So the players that they're developing through, and there's more professional players out there. So obviously, our structure is going to be like that with our regional competition with the Southern Vipers, but it's just a few years behind. So Australia are always going to be the team to beat because they're obviously picking from more professional players, if you like. But yeah, I think it's going to be a real challenge for the England girls, especially with them coming. Obviously, they've just played their Women's Big Bash. They're playing their state cricket now, so they've got the chance of picking players in form, whereas the England girls haven't. Obviously, they went to Oman pre-tour, but obviously competitive fixtures they haven't had since obviously the end of our summer. So in that sense, to get the ball rolling out there, you think Australia have got one up on England, but I'm sure the preparations are going to be good leading into the competition for the England girls.
Now, it's a multi-format series, unlike the men. Now, the series was going to start with a test match, but the order has changed now, isn't it? So they're going to start with three T20 internationals. Does that help England at all?
Do you know what? I think it's so hard to say because you think, oh yeah, England are really strong with T20s, which they totally are, but then so are Australia. And I actually think the team that copes with the pressure the best, performs well on the day, will win this competition, will win this series, because every team that you put out has match winners. Look at England, Danny Wyatt, for instance, she'll be opening the bat and she can win a game by herself. You've got Tammy Beaumont, you've got Nat Siver, you've got Catherine Brunt. There's a list of really experienced England cricketers that are match winners in their own rights. And then you look at Australia, you've got the same. You've got Elise Perry, Elisa Healy. There are some really, really strong players that can win games of cricket on their own. And it is one that you can't, it's not a series where you can go, yeah, England will definitely win this, or Australia will definitely win this part of the series. It's going to be fierce and competitive throughout the whole three dimensions of it.
Okay, now the England A squad out there as well. We'll come to them in a moment. But in the main Ashes squad, we've got three Southern Vipers players. Let's talk about them individually. Let's start with Danny Wyatt. Obviously, well, I guess a veteran these days, Emily. 81 one-day internationals, 122 T20 internationals. Do you see her still carrying on at the top of the batting order? And also, she's never played a test match.
Yeah, obviously, Danny had sort of a mixed summer with England this summer. She got dropped, didn't she, at the start of the so this summer that's just gone, 2021, from the ODI squad. She was playing in the T20 squad, and that spot is nailed on for Danny at the top of the order. She will open the batting in T20. I'm very confident of that. That suits her style of game. But yeah, she got dropped from the ODI squad completely at that start of the summer, which is obviously quite tough for Danny. But then she performed well in the Rachel Hayhoe Flint. Then she found herself in this batting at six in the ODIs in the internationals at the end of the summer, and she's done very well in that position. So I think she's wangled her way back in that team, and I'd be very surprised if she's not in that starting 11. And with the test match, I'm interested what side they pick. I guess it will depend more on pitch and conditions. I think we know Danny's more of a aggressive style of batter, so potentially that if she's going to miss out on any of the formats, it could be that. But yeah, it depends on the balance of the side that England go with. But I'm really excited to see Danny out there, and I think because she's got experience playing in the Ashes, playing under pressure, I'm hoping she'll do well in both the T20 and the ODI format.
Now, Maya Boucher got into the England side right at the back end of the summer, and she's been out in Australia already before Christmas playing in the Big Bash. I wonder how much that'll help her.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, she'd have been playing with most of the players that are in contention for that England squad, Australia squad, including, obviously, she was on Meg Lanning's team, the Australian captain. So she knows how she thinks, I guess, if you look at that, because they obviously shared a dressing room. But definitely getting used to the conditions and sort of this how cricket is different in Australia will definitely help her. And yeah, I'm really interested if she gets a gig out there in the starting 11. She obviously was in the T20, the last T20 squad that England played here. She was in that team. So yeah, I really hope for her she gets a game out there. And if not, it would be a fantastic experience for her.
And what about your big mate, Charlie Dean? She also got into the England side towards the end of the summer. 5 one-day internationals. Do you think she's got a chance of breaking into the Test squad and also playing in either of any of those first T20 internationals?
I really do. I think how Charlie performed at the end of the summer here, I'm not just saying this as she's my mate, she performed really well. She's one of the leading wicket takers in that series. And as an off spinner, she brings something different to the women's game because she turns the ball a lot. And Australia have a lot of left-handers. So obviously Sophie Eccleston's the other leading spinner for England who's going to play all formats. But being a left-arm spinner to left-handers, obviously the ball's turning into them. So having Charlie as an option to turn the ball away from a left-hander will be could be key for England. And obviously Maddie Villiers is also on the tour, who was the off-spinner that played before Charlie. So there is a bit of competition for places there for Charlie, and I guess on form. But I'd be very surprised with how her performances were at the end of the summer here. It would be very harsh to drop her from that ODI side. I'm not sure who they would go with in the T20, but I also would like to see her in the Test match again with the number of left-hand batters Australia have in their lineup.
Okay, so just as just like the men, really, the A squad, the women's A squad, have also out there mirroring what's happening with the senior squad. A couple of Vipers players in that as well, Georgia Elwes and Lauren Bell. Kind of, without being unkind, at the opposite ends of the age scale, really. Georgia Elwes had played a Test match last summer against India. Certainly the more experienced of the two.
Yeah, definitely. But Georgia's still a fantastic player, and we saw that in the summer for the Vipers when she played with us. And I think having her out there as well is, if something does happen in the England senior squad, and I don't know, a couple of players go down, obviously mentioning the dreaded word COVID, because we know it still exists, we know it's still out there and it's quite rife in Australia, or injuries, she's actually one that you'd like in the A squad should you need to call someone else up, because she has that experience and she can bat and bowl. So totally understand why she's in that A squad, and she's still a fantastic player. And should she get a call up for the main Ashes, I still believe she'd do a job. And obviously Lauren Bell, yeah, she's exciting, isn't she? A young fast bowler, and I can't wait to see how she does in Australia conditions, because she's tall, she gets extra bounce, she swings the ball. So I think she could actually do really well in Australia.
And your Southern Vipers head coach, Charlotte Edwards, getting a late call-up and part of now that England A squad coaching group. Pretty obvious in a way, isn't it, really? Because, I mean, she's got experience out there. I mean, she's just coming off the back of some big bash coaching as well, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's got experiences of playing Ashes series out there as well. I know she's with the A squad, but she's a type of person you want around the group, full stop, isn't she? She knows what it's like as a player. She was the best player in the world. So even apart from the coaching side, she's going to offer that group a lot off the field. And yeah, I'm dead chuffed for her, because I mean, her success as a coach has almost been just as good already as it was as a player. If you look, Southern Brave into the final, obviously at the Vipers, we've won two trophies, and that's credit to her and her hard work. So yeah, I'm really excited for her.